Ladies and gentlemen,
pros and schmoes,
you are listening to
The Come Up.
Welcome back, lovers. It's your sassy host, Candy McDonald. On Bodybuilding Misconnections today, we feature our good friend with a sad, sad story. Ramon.
I was doing the deadlifts when I first seen you. You looked like a sexy, vascular vampire as you entered the gym. I had to tuck my boner into my waistband to keep it concealed. I continued to sporadically peek at you while you hung all over the stair climber as you did your sloppy, lazy cardio. I couldn't contain it any longer, and I blew my load into my belly button. I had to leave the gym mid-workout in frantic embarrassment to rush home to shower. I hope to see you again, though. Next time, I use duct tape. Then maybe we can go out on a date for some pizza and Pepsi.
Oh, Ramon, I'm so sorry. I sure hope those sweatpants weren't gray. And next time, don't do that.
Mic check. 1, 1, 2, 2, 3. Lanolin. Audrey! The milk is spoiled.
Stop.
Spoiled milk.
Welcome to the come up. My name is Haley Delph, and with me is not Ron Burgundy.
I don't want sardines on my pizza.
My husband, Ryan Delph. Today we have on very special guest, friend of ours, Jamie Hall, the CEO of Arsenal Strength. She's going to spit some knowledge your way and tell us what it's like to be a female CEO of a big strength company.
Yep, Arsenal Strength is a strength equipment manufacturer, and they are on the rise. They outfit Flex Lewis's Dragon's Lair Gym in Florida, Bradley Martin's gym out in California, Zoo Culture. And there's a lot of Arsenal Strength pieces in the Warhouse gym, which I'm sure you all follow, Dana Lynn Bailey and Rob Bailey. And then the gym that Haley and I train at, Level 2 Fitness, is completely outfitted with Arsenal Strength equipment. It looks cool. It's badass. The platforms are all adjustable. And they have like a lot of free range grips and handles. So it's very user friendly. It's badass shit. So stay tuned. Listen to Jamie talk about that later.
Definitely a good show. So, Advices Radio Network, now sponsored by True Nutrition. Make sure you use code Advices at checkout. As promised, I did receive the frosted carrot cake flavor in the mail. It's not exactly what I thought it was going to be, but it is still very good. A secondary flavor that I ordered in that same order was the chocolate thin mint. And holy shit, that one's really good. Highly recommend.
Yeah, Haley liked the chocolate thin mint more. I liked the carrot cake more. Yeah, the carrot cake has like a little spice to it, which I wasn't, like a little cinnamon flavor almost, wasn't really expecting, but both flavors are very good. Maybe not my favorite, but I would definitely buy them again.
So don't forget code ADVICES at checkout. True Nutrition, all your supplement needs. Something else very important, the Arnold Classic's coming up. Ryan's not so concerned with it because he'll be competing on Friday, then he'll worry about it a bit. But Scott,
I'll be there eating donuts and pastries and being a fat fuck.
Scott's throwing a little bit of a party, a live podcast party for everybody at the Hyatt. So make sure on Saturday of the Arnold, you get your butt to the Hyatt. From 9 to 11, we're going to do a meetup and a live podcast. So get there, have your questions ready. It's going to be fun.
You don't even have to wear a coat. Just walk down a hallway.
No coat, motherfucker. You don't need it.
Nope. Unless you have a lanolin sheep's wool coat. Okay.
Okay, listener questions.
All right, we're going to go straight into some listener questions here today. This one, I believe, was from Vache.
The Oreo man.
Yeah, the Oreo connoisseur, the hookup, the plug, all of your Oreo flavors. He asked, what are our biggest fears or shortcomings before a show? I can talk on that one right now just because I'm from recording this, I'm exactly 3 weeks out from competing. I guess ultimately the biggest fear is going up there and looking like a piece of shit. But I know I'm not going to. So really, I don't know. I don't really have any fears of it or shortcomings, I guess. It's just like I'm going to go up there. I'm going to present what I've worked for and do it. And ultimately, all you can do is hope to beat your previous package and hope that that package you brought to the stage is better than everybody else and hopefully win. But really, you can only control yourself, and you have no say in what the judges, what they think. So just got to take care of what you can control. And for me, like, I wrestled my whole life. I fought professional MMA. And so, like, I was out in front of people getting beat up, you know? So going up and standing on a stage and flexing in some underwear really, like, is nothing for me. So it's actually kind of fun. So yeah, that's my take.
I think this is a really interesting question just because everyone has different stressors in their life, you know, different experiences that brought them to the stage, like Ryan was talking about being on a mat or in an octagon. This prep, so I'm 10 weeks out from the St. Louis Pro, which will be my IFBB Pro debut, in a completely new division. So I think in general, when it comes to fears of show day or, you know, presenting my best package on stage, I'm not sure I have any just because I've been athletically prepared my whole life. And I was taught at a very young age to just leave everything on the floor every day. So work ethic isn't an issue for me. You know, every single day I make sure to do enough, if not too much, to prepare myself. But I will say that this being my first show as a women's physique competitor at the most elite level that you can get to, I'm pretty anxious to do it and to get it under my belt, but not just get it under my belt, but be successful at it, because I know that the last 2 years, I've worked my ass off to put on a significant amount of mass, and I'm ready to do my best. So I think maybe I should say it this way. I'm not scared or I'm not fearful of getting on stage. I'm trying as hard as I can, you know, not to be in my own head, to let things flow the way that they're supposed to leave everything on the gym floor every single day, to eat what I'm supposed to eat and to have a good outlook as I go into this, because new experiences, you know, I've never done a routine on stage before. I've actually never hit a front double in front of judges, but I'm going to, and I'm going to just, you know, throw myself to the wolves, because this show that I'm doing, there's, from what I've heard, there's going to be some top level pros there. So, you know, when I have emotions about going into this, I try to, you know, convince myself, tell myself that I'm excited. And instead of what could go wrong, what could go right? Because it really only takes one time. So yeah, it's in this whole grand scheme of things, it's a bodybuilding show, so I'm gonna enjoy it.
Right, and I guess that's kind of where I didn't really elaborate on it, but like you said, it's a bodybuilding show. We're not out here trying to survive cancer. We're not on the battlefield of war. We're not doing this shit. So I'm not scared or fearful of anything. I want to do my best, and as long as I do my best and look good, fuck, that's all you can ask for. Mm-hmm.
So what's our next one?
All right, our next question is from KBilly 17 on Instagram. What's one up? Of my former clients, Kyle Beal.
What's up, Kyle?
He asked basically, like, talk about becoming dedicated and accountable. I'll give you the quick answer. I'm sure Haley will talk about it more in depth. Becoming dedicated and accountable, you just got to fucking do it. Show up every day. There's no magic potion, no pill, no steroid or drug that'll make you show up every day and do it. That's on you. You just got to show up, fight through the soreness the first month if you're a newbie, and do it. Or like Shia LaBeouf says, just do it. Do it.
So my answer is not going to be a sexy answer. When it comes to anything, I would say, yeah, just do it. Sometimes you just have to suck it up and get it done. But when it comes to bodybuilding or a physique sport or something that's not mandatory of you, if you don't love it without convincing yourself to love it, then you're not going to love it. If you have to fight to prioritize eating your meals every 2 hours or getting your ass to the gym, it's probably not for you. So,
shit ain't for you, bro.
So sometimes you have to be honest with yourself. You know, I can't keep myself out of the gym. This is what I love to do. I changed my whole career. I've put myself in a position where bodybuilding is the priority for me. And I'm lucky enough that I'm in a marriage where, you know, it's a priority for my husband too. So when it comes to fitness, if it's just at a normal level, create a habit for yourself. You know, make yourself go to the gym. Make yourself burn some calories. Make yourself choose chicken over pizza. But if it comes to, you know, bodybuilding, like Kyle or some people have competed before, sometimes just making yourself do it is not enough and it's not worth it. So sometimes you have to self-evaluate and think, you know, is this for me? And if it is, if I can prioritize it and love it, then I'm going to have to do what it takes. But if it's not what you really love, I would say find what you love and it will be easy to be dedicated and do it because that's what you're meant to do.
Yep. You can still be a bodybuilder and go to the gym every day and stick to your diet pretty well and put on muscle or get shredded. But you don't have to be a competitive bodybuilder, you know. So if you don't love it, competition's probably not for you. So, all right, next question. This is from Hayden Heath, one of my former wrestlers. I coached high school wrestling too, so coached this guy a few years ago. He asks, cutting while not losing strength. Again, I'll give you the quick answer. As you're cutting and in a caloric deficit, it is mind over matter. For instance, I'm 3 weeks out right now, not doing any more or less drugs than I was at the beginning of prep. So that doesn't really fucking matter. And I am actually stronger than when I started. I'm still putting up the same amount of weight. Yes, my body, I feel the fatigue more. But I mentally push through it and I'm putting up the same numbers.
So if you're a listener of Advices, which you probably are if you found our podcast, you've probably heard Dance with the One That Brought You. And that's going to be the case for this answer too, I think. When you're dieting, you're getting closer to a show or whatever you're dieting for. Sometimes people, as their calories go down, their intensity and their rep ranges change as well. So they become a little bit more lackadaisical in the gym and their reps get a little bit, you know, higher and the weights get a little bit lower. But in order to maintain a dense look and to maintain your muscle mass, outside of, you know, enhancement, you have to train the way that you did to get to that point, because your muscle only stays around if it's needed. You know, your body doesn't want to carry more muscle than it's supposed to, so you have to use it. It's just like Spanish. You know, if you don't use it, you lose it.
True that. And our last question for the day is from UC Suma, who is an avid Advices Radio and BNR listener. He wants us to talk about some relationship issues. How do you deal with two competitors under one roof? Also discuss libido. It can be limitless at times or non-existent, depending on where you are in prep. I'll let Haley start this one out.
That's a really good question. I think that a lot of times people just say, well, we just make it work, you know? Well, Ryan and I aren't quite like that. So I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's fine. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it really fucking sucks. So Ryan's 3 weeks out. I'm 10 weeks out. Neither of our diets are easy. We're both on no carbs right now. And that's no excuse to be an asshole, but sometimes both of us are assholes. So I think the biggest key here is, you know, subtract bodybuilding from the situation right now when it comes to a relationship, a marriage, whatever. You have to have the balls to be able to admit when you're wrong or when you're going too far, or the self-awareness to know when you've done something to hurt your partner, and to be forgiving and accept forgiveness at the same time.
You say have balls. What if your balls are atrophied?
Mine are like HCG, peanut M&Ms. Jesus Christ.
Okay, carry on.
He's just thinking about peanut M&Ms.
Peanut butter M&Ms.
Seriously, though, there's going to be times when you're not dieting that you want to punch each other in the face. So sometimes it is hard. It's really hard to have two competitors under one roof. But I think that just like any team, not every day is going to be great, because that's what Ryan and I consider ourselves as teammates in this marriage. And we have to work together to make it work and to be successful. So sometimes you have to bend for the other person. And sometimes you have to realize, be self-aware when you fucked up. So yeah, it's hard. It's really hard, but you have to love each other to begin with. I think that that's a really big part of it, and have open lines of communication.
Yep. And as far as the libido aspect, like UC Suma mentioned, like Matt mentioned, depending on where you're at in prep, yeah, you might be horny as fuck sometime, or you might want nothing to do with that. Like, I'm 3 weeks out right now. I could really care less about fucking, honestly. If I get the urge, I'd rather it be over real quick and save my energy. I'm going to go sit on the bathtub and jerk my meat real quick and be done. You know?
Which is great for me, because I'm 10 weeks out, and it doesn't matter where my hormone levels are right now. If I'm hungry, I don't want to have sex.
Yeah. Haley, once she starts prep, she's not about it. So
no,
lots of meat beating.
Which comes back again, though, to understanding. I think that it's almost easier now with both of us in prep when it comes to the sexual side of our relationship, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because definitely. whenever Ryan's just been my bag bitch in the past, he's been like, won't you fuck me? Well, no, because no.
Just lift up your leg real quick, 30 seconds. That's 30 seconds of your life.
Fuck. Yeah, so... yeah, that I think that can be a real issue. But I think that in a sense, we're lucky that we're both bodybuilders. So we understand that. You know, Ryan, even when I was just bodybuilding, he knew what it was like to cut weight from fighting and from wrestling. So it's not fun. Like, and if people, they've never really fucking dieted, if they don't know how intense it can be and how you can't even fucking remember things at the end of your prep, let alone want to have a romantic evening and sex for 4 hours. So...
4 hours.
Sorry, arbitrary number. Fuck off. Okay.
Yep. Ultimately, I think it comes down to communication and having an understanding with each other. And that's about it. So
moral of the story, learn to beat your meat.
Yes. Beat your meat. Beat it well. Don't be a whore. Just go out and beat your own meat. And we have a lot more listener questions, but... we're going to save those for future episodes.
Yeah, so, because we have to go eat a carbless meal.
And right after that, I'm going to go beat my meat. But stay tuned. You can listen to Jamie Hall from Arsenal Strength. And hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah. Yep.
Beat your meat. Welcome back to the Come Up, everybody. Today we have Jamie Hall, the CEO of Arsenal Strength, with us. Jamie, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. Thanks for coming on today.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So shout out to everyone from Iowa. Jamie is successful. She's from Iowa. So take that, everybody that doesn't like Iowa.
Or don't know where Iowa is.
That's right.
We have corn, not potatoes.
Yeah.
That's right. There's no potatoes.
Right. So Jamie's from Iowa, but you are located now in Tennessee, and that's where Arsenal Strength is. So give us a little bit of your background in athletic strength training. Who are you?
Yeah, great question. Who am I? So I grew up, you know, being an athlete in high school. I played 5 sports. In between, you know, the practices and everything, there's always the required strength and conditioning. So, you know, I was in the weight room consistently, like all through high school. And then, after high school, I ended up going Division I and being a softball player. So, I finished my career at Syracuse, and, you know, just being an athlete and being a female athlete at that, it's just, it's interesting, you know, perspective and interesting take on the being in college, essentially. So it's really like a full-time job. I feel like when I think about college and I think about my experience being an athlete, it's really just that. I don't remember a whole lot about classes and you know, studying. Like, the whole focus was I really wanted to be the best athlete that I could be and be the best teammate I could be. And, you know, with that comes the, you know, putting in the extra hours of practicing fielding and hitting and being in the weight room. So I was a little bit smaller than most of my teammates. So I felt like I needed to compensate and just be stronger. So I would train a lot for strength. We would do a lot of Olympic lifting. But I always felt very compelled to just try and push myself in the weight room and be as strong as possible. But being an athlete, it really taught me a lot. I mean, you learn a lot about yourself, a lot about, you know, time management, consistency, hard work. So I'm very thankful for all those experiences that I got being an athlete in college.
For sure. And I can tell all the listeners that Jamie and I played softball together in high school. Yes. And whatever you didn't have in size, you made up for in skill, because you're one of the most skilled softball players, you know, I've ever seen on a field.
And attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching that from the stands. I was like, damn. That chick's getting after it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I was very intense. I remember my dad had a very, very heavy influence on my life, and he's very intense. So, people who are listening that know my dad, he's very intense.
Preach.
And so, yeah, they called him Bruce Almighty. I'm not sure if that was a compliment or, what, you know, where that went. But so I feel like that, you know, just him being an influence on my life, it was just intensity. It was hard work and focus. And those are all skills that are great on the field or great, you know, on the court or whatever sport you're playing. But those transition so well into life. I mean, you think about what we're doing now and how intense it is. It's like you have to have intensity. You have to have focus, and you have to be willing to put in those extra hours. And I honestly don't know how I would have learned that without having, you know, my dad as an influence, having the teammates and having that just experience playing sports. It was so impactful in my life. And I think about, too, now just being a mom and talking to other parents, and, you know, we talk to teachers, and that this has come up a lot recently, is that, you know, we talk about athletics and females, and I'll bring it up, and, you know, my daughter's only 4, but, you know, this is something that I, you know, I want her to experience if she chooses. I'm not going to make her do it, but I'm going to give her every opportunity to be successful in some sort of athletics that she chooses. And what I hear is so common is that, you know, educators and other parents are like, oh, well, it's not something I really think about. I have a daughter. And to me, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, everything I've learned was through athletics. So, you know, why we're not, you know, giving these girls at least the opportunity to be successful, at least the opportunity to make these choices for themselves, to be in athletics or be given the chance to, you know, set them up for success, is something I feel like we really need to rethink. Because it's so impactful from, you know, a learning perspective. And like you guys said, the intensity and the focus and the hard work, those are all traits that can be transitioned into real life.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
Yeah. You talk about how athletics could be really important for young women. Can you talk about how, like, your athletic career and experiences translated over to you being a CEO now in the business world?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So I think for me, just being learning how to be on a team, and I don't think that I actually understood what being a good teammate meant when I was younger. I think for me, that was kind of my biggest opportunity and growth. And there's not somebody there that can really show you. I mean, your coaches are there to improve your skills, And you know, they help with your mental attitude and your confidence. But it's hard. It's really like a journey navigating through what it's like to be a teammate and a leader on the team. So, you know, obviously, like, seniority typically wins. Seniority typically is the captain's. And that's, you know, that's consistent with how I grew up in athletics. And so I think for me, just taking back really the parts of my career that I would have maybe changed or adjusted, I suppose, were really good learning experiences for me being in the company in the position I'm in now, because I think the team aspect is so important. And when we look at this company as a whole, there's just a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of things that just one person can't do. And when you're in athletics, a lot of times you feel like, oh, I can do this myself. Like, I can win this game. And, you know, in some cases, maybe you can. I don't know, depending on the sport. But realistically, like, the big picture is that you're a team and you work and you move and you function as a team. And that's one of the most difficult things I think I've had to learn, is just learning how to delegate and learning how to navigate different personalities and motivate different types of people to be successful as a team. Because you've got, like I said, so many moving pieces and so many different outlooks on life. And to get that to come together for one passion and one goal can be challenging. But then when you see that actually happen is when you succeed, when you see all the successes happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know, like, for me personally, you know, sports played a huge role in my life, especially wrestling. You know, it takes a whole different, like breed of person to be a successful wrestler. You have to be a little fucked up in the head and have a sick, twisted sense of humor from rolling around with half naked, sweaty dudes.
I think we all know this about you.
Yeah. Yeah. The listeners should know this by now. I'm a sarcastic asshole, but, athletics, like, forms your mentality. And I know for me, like, wrestling and MMA created the mind that I have, you know, and that translates over to everything else I do. So totally get it.
I agree.
That's a good point. You talk about, like, the mental aspect of athletics, which is not something that, you know, you dive deep into, like, in high school athletics. And I know in college we had somebody come in and they taught us how to just kind of navigate through that mental landscape. And when you think about softball or baseball, and I don't know what it's like for wrestling, I'm sure you have experiences, but in softball, you fail way more than you succeed. Mm-hmm. You know,
oh, yeah.
50 batting average is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about your failure rate, and if that was in any other, you know, realm, you would be a complete failure. And so just learning how to actually fail, but then still be successful is something in life. I mean, you think about, if I think about my typical week, it's like, I think I can get so down on myself. It's like, well, you know, this didn't happen. Oh, this said no, this person said no. And it's like, you've got to come back every single day, every single time, and be like, it doesn't matter. Like, this next time it's different. It's new. It's like, you know, a new at bat, like, all right, this at bat, I'm going to get the base hit. I'm going to get the double, whatever that looks like. Same in business. It's like, you can't continue to dwell on those failures. You just got to continue to move on, and you've got to have short-term memory, essentially, which is what I learned in sports. It's just like, you can't think about it. Like, it's not going to happen every single time, and you just got to dwell on your successes and just focus on those.
Yeah,
that's one of my dad's really good one-liners was, kid, you know what makes a good pitcher? Short memory.
It's like, you got to forget about all those bad things and all the negative things, because they're going to happen. I mean, it's inevitable. And if you start thinking about that, you'll never make it out of a dark hole, honestly.
Yep. And you can relate this to bodybuilding too. I think it was maybe Jose Raymond. I could be wrong, but I think Jose Raymond said it. He goes, even the best bodybuilders lose more than they win. Mm-hmm. And if you think about that, it makes sense, because, like, yeah, for the last several years, Phil Heath was on top, right? So he was the only one repeatedly winning. Everybody else who are the best bodybuilders in the world, other than Phil Heath, were getting second place, third place. You know, they might win their one qualifying show, but ultimately the one that counts, they're losing, and they're some of the best in the world. Mm-hmm. So they're not quitting. They're coming back stronger. You know, they're chasing his heels, and finally Sean Roden got him.
So. Exactly. I mean, think about all those times, you know, Sean was second, third, fourth, whatever that place. And if he never came back, if he always dwelled on that, he wouldn't be the champ now. So,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned being a mom. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah. So I'm married to Andrew Hall. So we run the company together, which I think most people think we're absolutely insane for doing that. but you know what? It just works. Like I don't know how we do it some days. This week I wanted to punch him in the face, but you know, you have those days.
You're not really married if you don't have that.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's not realistic. If somebody tells me they don't, you know, get angry or get upset with their spouse, it's like, okay, I don't really want to punch him in the face, but right. but you know, you have your battles and you just learn how to communicate through those. I think that's the number one thing, is just communication. Like, you have to be constantly talking with them. You've got to keep them up to speed. And, you know, when we work together, I think people assume that we're always in communication. We're always talking. Well, by design, our offices are at the opposite ends. you know, we're human. We need some space. I love him so much, but I don't want to be, like, on top of him every single day. And also by design, and by just life, we have different skill sets. So our jobs don't hardly ever overlap. So, you know, for us to even, like, we could go a whole day in the same office and really never see each other. And so, you know, just to be able to communicate with him consistently and be able to talk through things without having a lot of, you know, if I'm angry and bringing that into the conversation, it's not helpful. So just be able to navigate through the emotions and communicate keeps us sane. I think it keeps all our employees sane. I don't know, maybe they have a different perspective, but, and then we have a little girl. She's 4. Her name is Livlin. She's very exciting. she's slightly wild.
Liv is the cutest little girl ever.
And so wild. She's awesome.
And a drummer.
She's so many things. She's amazing. And I'm so thankful for her and our family that, and it's just, it brings so much joy, like, seeing her even on the hard days. I know, if, you know, the moms that are listening, it, you know, kids are kids, and man, they will wear you out. Like, you know, we were just talking all the weather and school's been out, and life doesn't stop when school doesn't happen. And so you've got to be able to figure out how to run a household and run a company simultaneously, and it's kind of challenging. So it's been a little bit of an interesting week, but I think the cool thing about Liv is she's very adaptable. Our lives are pretty intense and slightly crazy and never on schedule, so she's kind of used to that. So, you know, she just kind of makes home wherever she is and can entertain herself for the most part, but she's also very interested in what we do. She likes to be at the office. She has her own office here. She creates kind of her own little world here. And so it's just interesting to see her kind of grow up in this. And what, I don't know what that's going to look like for the future. I'd be curious, you know, if other moms have ran a company and they're, you know, watched their children grow up. I'd love to hear what they have to say about it, and, you know, tips and tricks. And because as a parent, you have no idea. You know, I feel like every day I'm like, I don't know how to handle this. Like, what do we, you know, it's, everything's new every day. And there's not a guidebook telling you what to do. So you just got to go off intuition and a lot of praying and try and get through it.
Mm-hmm. I was living through Liv yesterday on your Instagram story. You guys, you were eating cake or something.
Andrew made protein pancakes.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw Liv just down the sprinkles. She just opened it and it went right down the hatch.
Amazing.
She's like so smart. It's kind of, you know, I'm, you know, she is now understanding like the world of Instagram, and not that that's a part of my life. It's really not. And I do that intentionally because, you know, we're surrounded by a lot of things on Instagram, and I love our company. I love what social media can do, but it, you know, there's also a time and place for it. And so I think in my life right now, it's very minimal. But so when I make a video of Liv and share that, you know, she kind of knows what I'm doing. And so she also knows that while I'm videoing it, my hands are basically tied up and so she always does something outrageous. So
con artist.
Yes. Last night, to what Haley was saying, is we made pancakes and she wanted sprinkles on her pancakes, which that's fine. So while I'm videoing her, getting her opinion, because Andrew made these atrocious looking, they were amazing tasting, but they were atrocious.
For real, I thought it was like cake.
Yeah, a pile of cake on my plate. And so I was making a video of that. And then, you know, I pan over to Liv. I'm like, Liv, how did Daddy do? And She was like, great. And then she opens up the whole thing of sprinkles and just pours it in her mouth and sprinkles go everywhere, all over her face. And it's like, yeah, there's nothing I can do. I was Instagramming you. So, mm-hmm. you know, great, great mom moment right there.
I think it's cool though, you know, going back to what you said about Liv being around and, you know, hearing people say, well, they don't even think about that when it comes to raising a daughter. Well, yeah. Liv's in such a cool situation because she sees a mom and a dad working together at a big company. You know, you guys have such a cool relationship, I think, from our perspective. And she sees like a strong woman, you know, doing things that a lot of other women don't do. So I think it's such a cool setup that you guys have.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I used to apologize to her and to myself when I would have to bring her into the office. Like if we had a late night, I had a deadline, or, you know, we had a big project, or, you know, school was canceled. I used to just say, I'm so sorry, you have to come to the office. Like, I'm so sorry, you have to do this. And then like one day it just kind of hit me. I was like, no, I'm not apologizing for this. This is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Livlin is watching us run a company and we do make sacrifices. And this is just kind of the life we chose. I'm not apologizing for that. I'm going to kind of show her and empower her that this is an option you have. If right. you choose this option, here are some of the sacrifices you make, but you can do it. It's not impossible. It's not impossible to have a family and run a company. It's not impossible to have a family and not run a company. You can do anything that you want to do. I just want to show her that there's options out there and that whatever she chooses, I want her to be confident in that. So if she wants to be, you know, if she wants to have a big family and stay at home, that's amazing. That's great. If she wants to run a company, that's amazing. That's great. But I want to show her that there's options and that she doesn't need to apologize to anybody for what she's choosing to do, because that's her choice.
Not even eat sprinkles out of the can.
No regrets there.
No regrets.
No regrets. Get it tatted on your chest.
So
she was 100% committed to those sprinkles.
I like it. I'm living through her. Yes. So tell us about Arsenal Strength and how you guys started.
Yeah, so we started, let me kind of back up before that. So I used to work for a large Fortune 500 company. I worked for them for 5 years. And then I had Liv, and the company was amazing. I got 19 weeks or 20 weeks, something just crazy, maternity leave. So I was off. And I had all intention of going back to work. I did. I went back for 4 weeks. And then I kind of some things happened with the company, and they're amazing. I have nothing negative to say about that company. But at that time in my life, I was hoping for some things that were going to happen, and they weren't. And I came home and I told Andrew, I was like, look, I just want to take a break. Like, I want to spend some time with Liv, you know, and this was like in summer-ish. So I was like, I'm going to stay at home for, you know, 6 months. And then the new year, I'm going to start looking for a different job. And so I quit and, you know, ended up kind of doing the stay at home mom thing for about 3 or 4 months. And then Andrew kind of came to me and he's like, look, I want to do our own company. I want to do this by ourselves. I feel like we can provide some things to the industry that is not getting provided.
Andrew was in fitness. Too.
Yeah. Yeah. So Andrew, yeah, he was in the strength equipment industry before. And so, you know, he had this idea of kind of what he wanted as a company, just to kind of be a light in this world. I think not all companies, but there's not a whole lot of, how do I say this? I think he just wanted to do things differently. We'll just say that. So, you know, so he came to me and he's like, this is the plan. You know, we planned it all out. And the first year was interesting. It was very scary. You know, we didn't have a whole lot. It's not like, you know, we have, a plethora of cash in our bank account. That wasn't the case. We were young. You know, we just had a baby and I was working during nap times and in the night, and Andrew just basically worked nonstop. And we ran the company out of our house for the first year, and then we ended up selling our house and putting all that money back into the company. And, you know, we just continue to grow and grow and grow to where we are now. So, but that first year was very challenging. It was very hard. I think there's a lot of emotional aspect to it because, you know, the unknown is so scary. And this is the first time for both of us just kind of running our own companies and running it together. And, you know, this pressure a family. And I think our parents were kind of like, what are y'all doing? Like, are you sure about this? Like, you know, and we had a plan. Like, we had a plan. It wasn't like we were just running blind. We had a plan. We had some amazing products, and we knew the industry. Like, we knew what we needed to do. And, you know, I think just executing that, and we were just so relentless. Like, there are just so many hurdles, I think, about that first year. And, you know, with anything, there's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be people that want to bring you down. There's going to be things that want to bring you down. And you just have to overcome. Like, you just have to get through those things. And I'm not going to say they're ever going to stop, because they're not. They just get bigger. But you get better. So you get better at getting through those hurdles and navigating those. And there's less of an emotional drain on it. So you just kind of anticipate those things and are able to kind of analyze and move past. But the first year was challenging. So I'm glad that, you know, we got through that. And, you know, it's such a God thing. There's just so many things that should have just brought us down, and they didn't. So I'm very thankful for all the people. There's a lot of key people that just, you know, stood by us and supported us. And I'm very thankful for those people as well.
So what year did you guys found Arsenal Strength?
It was 2014. Yeah, we ended up like officially launching in 2015. And, you know, like I said, there's roadblocks. Like, we were going to be an online, you know, like an e-commerce type business. There's no plans to have like a brick and mortar store or anything like that at the beginning. And, you know, our website took 3 months longer than we anticipated. And when you're first starting a company, 3 months is a very long time. And we just didn't know what we didn't know. We couldn't anticipate any of these things. So it was just constant, like, just on your nerves, like, when is this going to get done? When can we go live? Like, what is, you know, but in the meantime, you know, we were making connections, we were talking to people. So everything just, you know, kind of worked itself out.
So tell us too, how is Flex Lewis a part of what you guys have going on?
Yeah, Flex is amazing. Flex and Ali are amazing, and Adiana. So Flex is a part owner of the company. And he's an amazing, amazing man, amazing family. So we have nothing but great things. We're really good friends with them. They're actually just down here. You know, we did Disney with them, our family. So we've gotten even closer as we've progressed through this company. But he came on board that October. So October of 2015, he came on board as a partner, and really just kind of helped us show the world, you know, who Arsenal Strength is, and that, you know, we're committed to excellence. We've got some amazing products, and, you know, he just stood behind the brand and stood behind us and, you know, just showed people, like, we're the real deal. Like, this is a legit product, it's a legit company, and just helped us kind of reach some different audiences.
Yeah. So Ryan and I, we train our clients out of, and we train at Level 2 Fitness in Bettendorf, yeah. Iowa, which is now outfitted by all Arsenal Strength equipment.
It is.
We helped you guys with the scary setup, the install of the place.
Yes, a little interesting.
Yeah, but just from, you know, our experience, one of the big reasons why I moved to this new location was because of the Arsenal Strength equipment. Because you guys, I mean, and this is, I think, Andrew's expertise, the way that you guys design your equipment is set up, you know, for the athlete, for the bodybuilder to either make, you know, the best progress to put onto the field or to present the best physique, and everything translates, you know, everything works. My joints are not beat up to hell after I train for a prep. You know, everything just seems to work so much better with your guys' equipment.
Well, thank you, first off. I appreciate that. And yeah, that's definitely Andrew's expertise, so he could weigh in more on that. But when we launched 11 new products last year, so it was an intense, exciting year. But I've just watching that process, I don't really necessarily get involved in the designing of the products. I'm more of the after the marketing and what that looks like and how do we go to market with this product. But the one thing I do, they use me because I'm 5'5 and 100 pounds. So yeah, a little bit different body image or body make than some. So, and that's part of why we design our equipment the way we do, is we want it to be able to function for somebody like me and somebody who's, you know, like Flex, who's shorter, wider, stronger, or even somebody who's 6'6" and, mm-hmm. you know, plays basketball. So we do a lot of prototyping and testing on different body types to make sure, like you said, Haley, to get that feel where you're not sore the next day, only in the right places, mm-hmm. and that ergonomically it's made to perfection, essentially. So, I mean, there is one piece that I remember they worked probably 10 months on, and they were just like, look, it's not up to par. It's not excellent. We're going to throw it away. And then they had one more meeting about it because, you know, at that point it doesn't even make sense from a cost perspective. So they had one more meeting about it. They ended up solving it, solutioning it, and now it's one of the most amazing products. So,
yeah, it's so nice to be able to train with my husband and have easy switches, you know, because he's 6 foot and I'm 5'2". So, yeah. You know, I'm not too short for anything, which is something I really appreciate, because every other gym that I go to, like, good luck getting on the hack squat. It's not going to happen.
I know.
Yeah, it's so nice. Like, all of your equipment, you know, it has the adjustable platforms. It has, like, free range handles and grips. You know, you can just adjust everything, the angles. You can really tell that bodybuilders helped create these prototypes and solidify the model. So it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we just came out with the pendulum squat. Mm-hmm. And that's something where, you know, the platform adjusts so you can adjust the angles. But then also like the height adjusts. So you can just pin it somewhere where somebody like me could reach and I could fit into the carriage. So I think too, like when I go in there, I want to be able to train on this stuff. Like I don't, you know, I'm 5'5", average height for a woman, but I'm smaller, you know, and I want to be able to use it. So it's got to be fully functioning for somebody like myself, but then somebody who, you know, is a top tier athlete, basketball player, football player, whatever that looks like. So I appreciate y'all and that feedback. And I think that's something that we as a company strive for.
I got something I just thought of too, Jamie. Yeah. I forgot what you guys called it, but the program you guys did where you were going into different high schools with like kind of old rundown gyms, yeah, and then going in and remodeling it for them.
Yeah. So that was called the Lift Life Foundation, and the Lift Life Foundation is teamed up with bodybuilding.com. And what they do is they focus on, weight rooms, like you said, high school weight rooms that are dilapidated or not functioning, not up to par. And, you know, we team up with them and redesign and equip the new weight room. We've done, I think, 3 or 4 so far. There's more planned for the future. And it's honestly, it's an amazing experience because you see these kids and, you know, they go to their weight room right now and, you know, there's nothing there. They can't even get anything out of it. There's no value there. And, you know, we go in with Lift Life Foundation and redesign it, re-equip it, literally everything you can imagine in that space, depending on how big the space is. We put as much as we can that functions. And just seeing their faces and their passion, it's just so exciting and motivating, really, just to see them excited about wanting to train and wanting to be better for their school. So it's a really, really awesome foundation ran by amazing people. And, you know, we're just so thankful that they chose us as their equipment partner, and we're happy in any way to help in those situations.
Yeah, that's amazing. And seeing the transformation of the gym before and after, you're like, whoa, that's even mm-hmm. that's the same gym in general, you know, that's cool. Crazy.
And the Lift Life Foundation does a really good job of redesigning. I mean, they knock down walls, they, you know, they're everything, they're contractors, so they've got everything up to code and the floor. I mean, we do the flooring as well, but they do such a good job of giving it their all and giving those kids, you know, what they deserve. And it's honestly, like, that's one of the best parts about this is being able to see those kids' faces.
Yeah. So you guys have the best equipment out there. You help with the Lift Life Foundation. What else makes you the best? I know you guys do gym setup, right? Like the floor plans.
Yeah. So I think the unique thing about our company is that we act more as like a consultant, and we really want to see these gyms and these people succeed, because, you know, sometimes we'll get somebody who has it all on the line. I mean, they've done everything they can to get this gym open. And so we want to be a partner with them. It's not just like, here's a package of equipment, see ya, bye. It's, hey, you know, who are you targeting? Like, who are you trying to bring in this gym? how many square foot do you have, like everything. So depending on where we get them in the process, it, you know, ideally it would be awesome if everybody came to us with a blueprint and an open room and was like, here's the space, like what do I need to do? And then, you know, we sit down with them and go through this discovery process of, all right, what's your focus? Where are you located? All, you know, all these questions that actually matter to their business, but really don't necessarily matter to us. But we want to make sure that everything that goes in that facility is going to help them reach their goal. It's not about us. It's about their goal. And I think we would do a really, really good job of kind of consulting them on that process, making sure that everything fits in their facility. So we'll do, you know, the 3D layout. We'll work with them on branding the equipment so we can do custom colors. We can add logos. You know, we talk about what it looks like from, you know, once they get the equipment in, how to kind of market to their target audience and that process and things that they can do along the way, you know, if they are opening a new facility, like things that they can do to do pre-sales and get members in, get members excited. So we just try and be a good partner along the entire process, even after delivery, just checking in on them. You know, most of the time, like our customers, we stay in contact with them all the time, we become friends with them. So it's a really unique relationship that I think is maybe just left out at times for other in any industry. It's just the relationship is really important to us, and that we want to make sure that we're just being good partners throughout.
Well, you guys are, especially with level two. I know after the install and even the gym design, it's set up for the clientele that we're trying to bring in. You know, more of like the Matrix pin select stuff with the cardio equipment is up front. So it doesn't, you know, scare away the soccer moms. And then you get back to, you know, the hardcore equipment, the squat racks, the really heavy weights. That's for, you know, the gym rats that really want to be there and train hard. So that plays a big part. I mean, that goes into how the gym owners are going to feed their family. So that's really cool. And you've been so responsive. I whoever the manager has been, you know, they've never had to ask me, you know, hey, can you call Jamie? You guys have been on top of things, even checking on us before we need the help. So you guys are doing it right for sure.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. And obviously, I mean, it's in my hometown. That's when I come home. That's where I train. Yeah. Place is amazing. It's a very unique facility. So I'm very thankful that, you know, we got that job. I mean, it had nothing to do with me being from that hometown either. We earned that job fair and square.
I'm glad you did.
I'm very proud of our team. Our team definitely put forth the effort to get that job. I was extremely proud of them for all the work that they did. But it's just a cool space. It's a cool setup. It's got something for everybody. I love it when I go there. It's an awesome place. I wish that I had it when I was growing up, honestly. That would be even better. But you know, the kids going through there, going through the Quad Cities, I think it's just going to really take all the athletes to a next level. There's just so many different ways to utilize that space with all the turf and then, you know, the different types of equipment, the unique pieces that they chose. So I think they did a really good job. I think Level 2 did a really good job. You all did an awesome job of just, you know, communicating what you need and your end goal and, you know, us executing that. So it made for a great team and team effort.
Well, thanks. Yeah. So when Ryan and I were prepping for this interview, you know, we were brainstorming and we remember a conversation that we had with you a couple of years ago about being, you know, the head of a business and as a lady in the South and how a lot of times, you know, these guys or these older gentlemen that run businesses weren't exactly sure how to handle you.
You little Southern belle, you.
Yeah. So maybe not just in the South, but just in general, you know, what's it like being the CEO of a huge strength company in a mostly, you know, male dominated industry?
That's a great question. And you know, honestly, like I'm very lucky and blessed because Andrew and I work so side by side. And so that's helpful, but it's interesting. So I went to school in New York where, there just wasn't a whole lot of bias or, I mean, maybe there was, I just didn't encounter them, you know, maybe being in a little bubble of college was helpful, but when I moved down to the South, there's just a little bit different, you know, attitude. And I don't know if it's just me and the way I am. I'm typically when I work, like I said, I'm very intense, I'm very focused and I'm very direct. So that could come off from anybody anywhere, you know, a little bit like, oh my gosh, like, who is this girl? But yeah, like I've encountered, not necessarily like with directly Arsenal Strength, but just in general, I think people are just, they take a step back after either meeting me or having a conversation, and they're a little unsure how to navigate that. And it could be because they're not as familiar with working with women. And this is something Andrew and I have spoke about. I just think it's really important, you know, as we build our daughter up, is that she, you know, she has those leadership capabilities, and if she chooses to use them, she can. But understanding how to navigate different conversations with men who are maybe just unsure of what that looks like. I mean, I'll tell you a story. I was in a meeting once, and this was outside of Arsenal Strength. Honestly, our customers are amazing. I've never had any issues or concerns or anything like that. This was a separate meeting, and the guy looked at me and he's like, you know, I just don't know how to talk to you. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, you're a woman. And I was like, damn right I am. Like, what is that?
Like, do you need me to show you?
Yeah, good observation.
Like, you know, and Andrew, if, you know, anybody knows my husband, he's very laid back and very chill. He just kind of was like, oh, you know, hell no. Why did you just say that? Like, oh my, you know, he's just thinking, who knows what she's going to say now. But I think it just kind of opened my eyes that, you know, there is a little bit of, I wouldn't call it sexism. I don't feel like anybody has ever made me feel like that. But I think there is kind of a hesitation where they're kind of like, well, there's a female who's, you know, the head of a company or co-head of the company. And this is an interesting dynamic. It brings a different card to the table, essentially, because, you know, they live in their world of all men, and, you know, men are, you know, they have their things in common, just like women have their things in common, and you kind of intermix those, and it's an interesting dynamic. And so I'm still learning how to work through that. I think it's definitely been eye-opening for sure. You know, when a man says that to you, it's like, I'm fully capable. I'm highly educated. And, you know, I know what I'm talking about. If I don't know what I'm talking about, I don't speak about it. So I just, it's just been interesting to say the least. Yeah.
So can you offer, advice for anyone business-wise or even, you know, just in general, what's the best advice you can give?
The best advice, I think, a couple things. I would say nothing ever gets easier. Like, so you have these, you know, you have these points in your brain or your plan that are like, oh, if I only get here, it'll be easier. Well, that's not true. And so make your plan and make your goals accordingly. So you know that, okay, I'm going to encounter things all along this journey, and what they're going to do is they're going to help me grow. And so if you can just go into that with that type of attitude where I'm not looking for something easier, because the longer your journey, the harder it's going to get. What I'm looking for is growth. And so every roadblock, every hump, every, you know, valley, if you will, is a growth period. And it's not a time to have, you know, self-doubt, negative talk, any of those things. It's a time to grow. So it's really a good time to be analytical, and kind of reanalyze where you're at and where you want to go. So I think that's one, is thinking through that and what that looks like. And number two, you know, speaking to females in particular, like I, you know, people say it's a man's world. I don't know if I believe that. I think that as a woman, we have so many excellent qualities that maybe we're underutilizing. And so I would just encourage people to utilize their skills and their skill set to whatever they want to do. So I don't want it to be that I'm pushing women into the business field, because I don't believe that. I think that, you know, women can do a multitude of things. We're amazing multitaskers. We're amazingly emotionally intuitive. And those are skills that you can't teach. And so use those to our advantage, and use our minds and our intelligence to our advantage. And I would just encourage them to not be alarmed when somebody questions them or doubts them, but just to be confident in their abilities and to keep pushing forward.
You're firing me up, Jamie. Yeah. I want to go train right now.
Haley's sitting here like smiling at me, nodding her head like, fuck yeah, Jamie's the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's just, I think it's a passion of mine that's recently developed, that I think, you know, I'm glad that you're getting fired up, because it's good. You know, you're a strong woman and you're interesting with what you guys are doing with your podcast and your growth with your, you know, being a professional figure, and just seeing that. And so, you know, knowing what you can do and not having any burdens or feel like, oh, I'm a woman, like I can't get to the people I need to get, or, you know, I can't do this, I'm a woman. Like, I just, those are just, that's negative talk that I don't want to entertain. And, you know, I would encourage anybody just to break through that barrier. Like, what does it matter? If you fail, so what? Like, failure is not a bad thing. Failure is a growth period. So to me, it's like, okay, if you don't reach your goal now, well, then just keep trying or realign your goals and figure out a new path. But continue to make progress is what I would say. So
I love that. That's great advice.
Perfect. Well, all right. We'll start slowly wrapping it up here now. But does Arsenal Strength have any future plans you can talk about?
So Arsenal Strength has some exciting plans ahead. Can't speak directly to what we're doing, but in the next, you know, couple months, there's going to be some very exciting announcements. We've got lots of new products coming out. I don't know how many yet, but there's a lot in prototype right now. So there's going to be some unique pieces that I think are going to be exciting to you two, especially.
Nice.
So that, but yeah, we've got some good stuff coming out for 2019.
Hell yeah! So how do people get in contact with you if they're interested in Arsenal Strength at all?
Yeah, if they're interested in anything Arsenal Strength related. Our Instagram has honestly the most up-to-date pictures, videos, content. It's Arsenal_strength. And then they can visit our website, www.myarsenalstrength.com. You can reach us through there, give us a call, shoot us an email. You know, we're very responsive. Direct message us, however. Any aspect, any message form, we're on it all. We always answer.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Jamie.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Alrighty, and everybody out there who's been watching, who's on Instagram, and you see the Zoo Culture Gym out there in California, the Warhouse, and then Dragon's Lair down in Florida, that's all Arsenal Strength equipment in there. So it's badass shit. So, all right. Thanks for coming on, Jamie.
All right, thanks, Jamie. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.